apply.
Join Aubrey Masango, evenings on 702.
Among many of his accolades, he has worked for the organization McDonald's South Africa, CEO of Magna Carta, and many, many other organizations. And in his current role as managing executive at EmpowerWorks and executive lead for Empower Growth, he comes to talk to me in this second edition of our conversation. His name is Chaba Mutielwa, and he is on the spotlight tonight for a second time. But Chaba, thank you so much for joining me once again. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, Aubrey, thank you very much for the warm welcome and just reminding me that I've had a long career.
You've had a long career, my brother. And I suppose that speaks to the fact that you bring not only your academic qualifications, but your experience as a human being, as a man, to your profession. What do you think those would be?
I think my name is right at the forefront. Sichaba is about nation. So I see myself as somebody whose mission is to build communities. So it instructs me to be out there and not to be a loner. It instructs me to go into the unknown and the spaces where one is uncomfortable, because that's where I find growth. Like now, I'm spending a lot of time with young people.
Yeah,
I was young a long time ago, and I'm finding that the issues that they are dealing with are so different from my issues. So that's why I think my name is instructive in that way. The second part of of it, it's more about understanding that career takes a very long time and it's not a straight line. And all the experiences humble you as they grow you, and also being able to note what they mean for you. For example, just being able to learn from every failure, able to, you know, be happy when there's been a success, but knowing that that success is just to reward you for and give you enough inspiration for what still lies ahead.
You said something interesting about how young people now are dealing with different issues to what you and maybe I, because I think I'm closer to you in age, had to deal with as young people. What do you think those might have been and are?
Yeah, so I don't want to use my children as necessarily the experience of young people, but being a father, I do have young people. So they have to find a way not to be on screen time. So their attention is being taken away from other experiences that they could draw on in nature when they're outside. And when you're on screen time, literally you are being fed information that the algorithm has identified is for you.
Mm.
But maybe it's just been fed to you. The information might not necessarily be for you. And being young and impressionable becomes a challenge as to how do you filter the good stuff that will build you as a human being and also add to what you want to be in the future. So that's a big challenge in terms of attention, as an example. The second one is we live in a world now where things happen in one area of the world and they quickly go to the rest of the world. I think it wasn't a long time ago when we had the COVID-19 pandemic, and those children had to deal with isolation, uncertainty, fear, and I don't know where that trauma sits in them that they still need to deal with. And then when it comes to opportunities and employment, it also becomes quite a big challenge that, yes, I will study, yes, I'll get skills, but am I going to get employed? So maybe their challenge to say, maybe you need to employ others, create something for yourself. Yes. It's a very different challenge. When I was growing up, if you did well and you got a degree, and in fact, even the first degree was good enough for you to get a good job, and then it's getting harder and harder even for educated people to land those good jobs.
It brings me to your work as a professional marketer throughout your career. And I did express my fascination with that space, the space of wanting to add value to organizations by developing strategies that are going to connect with the audiences, the customers of those organizations in relevant ways. I remember that was part of our conversation in the first instance. What do you think, and do you still hold to that idea that that's what marketing essentially is? What is marketing?
It's broad, but essentially what you want, the way I normally look at it when I go into executive rooms, sitting in Exco, as a collective in Exco, our responsibility is to make sure, in support with CEO, of course, who's got his mandate from the board, to actually make sure that as a collective, we find a gap in the market. Because the business exists to be able to grow, especially when there are gaps in the market, whether it's for product, services, or experiences. When I leave that room and I go into my role as a marketing executive, my task is to determine whether there's a market in that gap. That is a collective, we just said the gap exists. And there are various ways of trying to get to the bottom of that, including understanding the size of the market that we could potentially cover, get, and what it will take to get it. Looking at who are the competitors that are already playing in that space,
right,
and then looking at the target audience, finding a way that makes you a little bit unique so that you can then get the value that, at yes, you're determined, you can then extract. I know extract feels like a very hard word, but essentially that is getting the value out and adding into your business. So if you are a marketer and you understand what is the need in the marketplace and you're able to line up the resources, whether it's people, whether it's the products that you do, your supply chain distribution, so that then you can service that need. Eventually then you will get the money. The trick is always to understand the need first, then see if your organization has got the necessary capabilities and skills and competencies to take advantage of it. Then line those up so that then you become better than your competitors. And for individuals, especially the young marketers that I train, I always tell them that try to do, in terms of business, what your competitors can't do or won't do to service that particular need. If you can find that sweet spot, then marketing in your department goes on another level.
Are there challenges in 2026 for marketers that have significantly changed the very DNA of that profession, of that vocation, of that calling in business, that probably didn't exist 10 years ago?
I would say there's nothing new. It's just that you have, for example, we talk about channels. Channels just means the route to market, whether it's the channel used to get the message to your target audience or the channel to get your product to the channel to the target audience. In the past, especially let's take communication, the couple of channels that you could use, whether it was TV, radio, print, and outdoor, those would have been like, say, four channels. But now you've got digital. And within digital, there are other elements. So from a channel that you use, that has now changed.
Right.
But it's still a channel. It's a means to either get your message to your target audience or to get your product to the target audience. So because of that, trying to measure impact of each challenge, especially when you have to report back into your Exco, can be a little bit tricky. The other challenge that I think comes through now is the talent that you have in your organization. There are too many specialists now and not enough integrators of the whole system. And when you are trying to even develop talent, you struggle to Well, it takes time, I guess, from my perspective, because people are not necessarily exposed to the broader marketing mix we were in our time. So that will also be a channel. Consumers, on the other hand, have got a much, much bigger choice. I remember growing up when you had to take groceries. At a particular time, you used Checkers to take groceries because the retailer became the actual packet that you used. Now, that retailer now has changed and is at the forefront of delivering to the extent that now
Checkers 60-60 comes to mind when you say that.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
So there, it's still getting that container, but now it's in a different format that gets to you anytime conveniently from your home, so you don't necessarily need to go. So those are some of the changes that you still need to be aware of, but the fundamentals, from my perspective, are still the same.
Is there an aspect to marketing where you literally create the need in the mind of the consumer when the consumer didn't know that they needed the thing that you are providing?
Look, when you do research and you're trying to figure out what is the need in the market, some consumers will already have the need, but the question that you have to ask yourself is that, is it big enough as a target, market? And then later on, other people then realize that, I didn't realize that I needed to walk around with a phone because I have a phone in the home. Okay, then maybe I should walk around in the phone. So sometimes we shouldn't confuse the people who are right at the bleeding edge, cutting edge of new things that come to the market and the ones that come late. But in the main, I usually find that if you say you're going to create a need, you might swim upstream. Actually, what you are doing is you become aware of something that might be right at the beginning, and then you just amplify it. As we're saying now, I don't think I had a need for somebody to deliver groceries for me. I could do it myself. It was giving me good exercise. I could balance the two packs going home. But now I realize that I value my time more.
Yeah.
Because I go out to run if I need to, but to bring groceries at home, somebody can do it more efficiently than I can, and I can use my time for other things other than walking around with packets of groceries.
Shawa Musia Eloa is my guest. He's managing executive at Empower Works and executive lead for Empower Growth. Man with a long, long spanning career in the marketing space. As I said, he was CEO of Magna Carta and is chair of a major governance bodies, including the Da Vinci Institute Council and the Marketing Association of South Africa. Long a career in that space. And for me, I always wonder, I mean, I remember having a conversation with another a marketer who said, Aubrey, ultimately, and he used the analogy of somebody selling drill bits. And he says, ultimately, we as marketers need to understand that we're actually not selling the drill bit. We're selling the hole that the drill bit makes. Because our story must be customer-centric. It must be about how the customer or the consumer of my product or service experiences my product or service. And he seemed to be suggesting that that is a fundamental change in the approach to marketing in modern times. Would you agree?
I think you are selling solution. Whether it's a drill bit or it's a nail, is it a solution that serves the purpose that it's intended? Because if you want, for example, as I said, to put up a frame on the wall, what is the best solution? It could be an adhesive, it could be a nail in the wall, but the solution is I'm giving you a solution to put a frame up in the wall. And that's, I think, what is critical. That's why I said find something that will first have enough people to buy so that then you can offer that as a solution. Marketing is not complicated. As I said, it's around there's a need I need to satisfy it. What do you do in between? That's where sometimes we complicate it. It's similar with communication. Ultimately, I'll want a share of your mind in terms of making sure that my message lands. How do I intercept what you're doing or disrupt what you're doing so that I can land my message? That's where then the different techniques come into play. Consumers are getting on with their lives. Like at the moment, I'm not in the market for a new car. So even if you was to hear hundreds and hundreds of commercials of new cars, I'll hear them, but I won't hear them. But if you then talk to me about the type of solutions that young people are looking for to solve their problems, then you've got my attention, because that's a space that I'm playing in, where I'm trying to do meaningful work of impact.
Yes.
So anybody that talks impact, suddenly you've got my attention, and then I can be able to engage with you, and you can actually now begin to influence how I look at
something. What does that mean, impact? I hear it a lot these days.
In my world, impact talks to things that are meaningful in people's lives.
Right.
So, for example, with the Empower Youth Week that we'll be having in the Val, we're going to have 10,000 young people coming in every day, being exposed to industry, being exposed to captains of industries, different solutions, where then they can be able to then say, this is what I need.
Right.
So that I can be inspired, because I've been connected to all the other opportunities that I didn't know existed, and then I can transform myself. So for me, that talks the impact of the work that allows somebody to move from the current state to a different and hopefully better state because of that type of work.
I get the sense that the converse of what you've just said now are campaigns that are tick box exercises, that are busy, but don't seem to have that thing, impact. How do you measure impact?
Maybe before we measure impact, let's just make the distinction that is there in the market. Maybe it works in some spaces, maybe it doesn't. Where marketing gets to be split between performance marketing and what we just discussed now, which is impact. And in the marketing world is around meaningful brand building exercises and initiatives that not only leaves an impression in the minds of the people, but actually transform them and where they are. So the performance marketing is very easy to check whether it has happened or not, because it's about go out and convince somebody to buy these widgets. 1, 2, 3. Did you buy? Did they sell 3 or 4? What did you use? Maybe use discount. Maybe you bundle them better. So performance marketing is the easy part of marketing, as far as I'm concerned, in terms of measuring whether it has worked or not.
Is that the sales side of the marketing continuum?
Look, we'll say all marketing is sales, because even if I've done impact work and I have a very good feeling about the brand on the business, I'm likely to buy. Especially, for example, if it's a product that is produced in a sustainable way, in methods that from my side I think are quite good. So I'll still have an affinity to buy. In fact, that is much, much stronger than the sales spikes that come from when you have discounted something and I've bought and then I've moved on, because I'll move around and check where the latest discount is. But if you had anticipated trouble, when it comes to brands that you care about, what is it about? It's because they do meaningful work and they have a particular, almost consciousness around things that are beyond just sales. That's why for me, as I said, it becomes quite important when you are building brands that in the long term, the decisions that you make to do something and the decision that you make not to do something then begins to talk to people's both hearts as well as mind, to be able then to, over time, this is what resonates with me.
The reason why I ask those kinds of questions, Bras Chawe, is that you've now taken on the role as managing executive of EmpowerWorks, a role that I know for you is not just about work, you've come up with words such as meaningful and impactful, which seems to suggest to me that there is something more here, at least as far as your investment into this project, than the ticking of the boxes of a marketing expert, right? That there's an investment that is soulful in this particular project at this phase of your life. I suppose let's start off by talking about what is Empower Works,
okay,
and why is it that somebody with your illustrious career has decided that this is where I want to spend my time at, in this chapter of my career?
So if you look at the challenges that a country faces, whether it's around poverty, youth unemployment, broadly, and you sit back and then you say, if this persists, what kind of future are we going to have as a country? And that concerns you. Then you go into a space that says, let me be content and work in an environment that directly tries to deal with this issue. Because some of them, in the short term, you deal with an issue of unemployment. But the root causes might be sitting somewhere else. And I'm finding that when you are immersed into the issues, then you are able at least to see what are some of these challenges. So Empower Works, what I love is in the name Empower. It is about empowering targeted audiences, the youth, women, and entrepreneurs. And to some extent, you can say individuals, broadly speaking, for them to be able to transform their current state to a better state. And we do that using various platforms like Empower Youth, Empower Women, Empower Entrepreneurs, and Empower Men. And also a new baby in our stable called Empower Growth, that I'm hoping the type of leaders that will be coming to engage us will have this consciousness of being not only transactional in what they do, but also they can just do something that is transformative in their work. That's why, I guess at this stage in my career, I find quite a lot of fulfillment with dealing with leaders that are in that space. And the way that they tackle some of these issues are interesting. Whether you look at Facet that says, one of our partners that says, for one to be an entrepreneur or function in society, you need to understand finance. Once you understand the flow of money and finance and all those criticalities of it, you stand a much better chance of being successful. If you look at what's happening in the green economy and recycling, and a big brand like Unilever coming on board to say, this is what happens in that particular ecosystem. So they are not just looking for sales. They are not just looking to do things else. They are giving something to the individual to be able then to go and change their work. So I find quite a lot of satisfaction in that. Let me give you a very small example that I think, for me, speaks volumes. Yesterday we were in Sebokeng, Zone 14 at Koinonia Bible Church, where the Empower Youth Week is going to be held. Very early in the morning, and there was a young girl that came to the gates and I opened because it was too early. Said, why are you here? She says, I'm here to collect my accreditation so that I can attend. I said, but you're supposed to be here yesterday. He said, yesterday my father did not have the money to give me transport to come here.
Mm.
But in the evening he arrived and then he gave me the money. And now I'm able to come and collect.
Was she alone?
She was alone.
Wow.
And then I said,
says a lot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I said, so what's going to happen for the rest of the week? How many times are you, says, we have got enough money for me to come here two times a week out of those five. So I said, you know, it touches me because as a father and as a man, in a society where you sometimes say men don't care, here is your father who's gone and made sure they make a plan. This is me in my head.
Right.
How do I support that man? So that the daughter can be able to come here for 5 days a week.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I said, this is who I am. Just go tell your father that I've given you money to attend for the other 3 days.
Right.
I'm supporting him as a father raising a daughter, just like myself, that you are taking this initiative to be here. I'm sure that she's going to attend for those 5 days. I don't know whether it's going to she's going to be transformed, she's going to be connected, or she's going to be inspired. The fact that she'll be in the environment, something's going to shift. And who knows? And I may not even meet her again or meet the impact that such a person will make in their life down the line. But the space allows for that. That's why working in that environment is, I find it quite useful. But of course, we have to work with commercial partners that have to put money into the game to be able to allow us to do this meaningful work, like I said. And also for these entrepreneurs that go say, I'm looking to scale my business. And then Coca-Cola runs a campaign to say, we can scale your business if you meet the following criteria because you're already in this space.
What is the need that you are responding to with this campaign?
The need is, I guess, I'm not sure if we are responding to the need or we are addressing a crisis that is facing us. In this particular case being youth unemployment.
Mm-hmm.
So we then say, how then do we bring opportunities to young people in an area that's got an illustrious history, both political as well as economic? Sharpeville is that side, you know, the Sharpeville massacre, Sibukeng is that side. But at the same side, you've got Sasol. The second and third industrialization of this country, a lot of it happened there when we are still into heavy machinery. Now the economy and the structure of the economy is changing. How do we ensure that the youth of the Vaal are not left behind but can be part of the new economy where AI and tech is relevant, creative economy is relevant, entrepreneurship is relevant, green economy, as I said, is relevant, as well as any other areas that are of growth that we don't need to talk to. So it's about a festival of opportunities where we are then seeing if it's a need, closing the gap between the aspirations of young people to do something and bringing industry close to them in a space then that allows for them to meet each other.
Would it be incorrect to say that the need in that particular scenario is bringing proximity both for industry and young people?
It is indeed. It's closing that gap. Mind the gap.
You spoke about meaningfulness, impact, connection. In whether or not the marketing process, at least at your level, at the point of maturity in that space that you find yourself. And you spoke of the idea that things need to be transformational rather than just transactional.
Yeah.
I mean, that for me is really, really important. Is that the way that marketing needs to go in order for it to have deeper roots, as it were? I'll tell you, and maybe I'm exposing a bias here. I'm feeling like there's very little marketing impact these days because it's not steeped in a transformational need. It's usually very commercial, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's what drives economies, right? But I'm getting the sense that there is a consciousness that is beginning to emerge that says, beyond being able to get mind share for the purchase of my product or service, there must be a transformational, meaningful, impactful idea. And so I'm asking, is that perhaps a new, maybe not so new, consciousness that is beginning to be part of the marketing process?
I mean, there are three parts answers to your question. So I might have an unfair advantage to be able to elevate what marketing should do. For a couple of reasons, but I'll give you one. As a chartered marketer, there are certain levels of understanding of the role of marketing that needs to tick the box, that one needs to understand. Because remember, everybody can get a title. The titles in organizations are given by HR. But just because you've been given a title does not necessarily mean you are operating at the level of a chartered marketer. So that consciousness, I think, helps to shape the marketing way of organizations. That's one. The second one is at a personal level and at a community level, that awareness that I spoke about, that we need to not harm the environment and then do good for society and community. So in our approach in marketing, product development, in what you need to do, those sit at the back of your mind to be able to do that. And I think the last part is that for the organization to be sustainable, because it exists for particular reasons, if you do the other ones well, then it will be sustainable, which then talks to all those other elements that are transactional, but they are not the beginning,
right?
But they are the end.
Right, right. This campaign, this, I don't know what you want to call it, the Empower Works.
Empower Youth Week.
The Empower Youth.
Yeah.
I'm going to say something slightly controversial,
okay,
and I'm interested in your reaction to it. Very influential, respected statesman said something to the effect very recently that South African youth are unemployable. Earlier in the year, another respected politician said that, or something to the effect that South African youth are lazy. They don't go out there to go and find work. They are expecting work to come to them, as it were, to get spoon-fed. I know you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But I don't want you to address the personalities. I want you to address that mindset and what this event is going to do with regards to those issues that have been raised by these two very important people.
First of all, we are overstating their importance and to this particular issue.
Yeah.
The Empower Youth, I call it three anchors about get inspired, be connected, and be transformed. So when we go and to speak or engage the youth, we are anchoring ourselves on those three pillars. So from an inspiration, you may even find that somebody will be inspired by seeing somebody that looks like them, that comes from the similar background, that then have achieved something significant, and then being able to find it relatable, that, okay, the environment that I'm born in or that I exist in, maybe it's here for me to learn something so that I can be better somewhere else. So when we go and engage youth, we find that they are not helpless. They are looking for help. And for us, that is important, is then say, what kind of help are you looking for? So I spoke about the fact that sometimes it's about what are some of the compliance things that I need to be aware of?
Yeah.
Are there funds that are targeted specifically for me? Which sectors are growing? So that's one aspect. The second thing around being connected is just making sure then that you connect the right opportunities to the right individuals. Because if there's a mismatch between what industry is looking for and what the youth think they can offer, then you may find that there's mismatch. I don't think it makes one necessarily unemployable. It just means that you'd have the skills and competencies that are not matching what the industry is. Now, relaunch yourself with the new software so that then you can go match that. Then at the same time, there's an awareness that we bring to the industry to say, the youth have got the following skills. This is what we want to achieve. Are you able to match that? You may even find that business was not looking to say we could grow our business if we also were to change our orientation towards this particular aspect. And then the last.
So you're saying to me that even business has the opportunity to learn something?
Huge.
Right.
Huge. I think that's why I said when you spend time with young people and you understand their situation, where they are at, what they are looking for, their frustrations, then you begin to have an appreciation that they are looking for help. They are not helpless.
Right.
Especially if you're going to have 10,000 young people come into a summit like this, unemployed and looking as some of them are graduates. Those you cannot say to me, write them off. I mean, we've got Valley University of Technology as a partner coming through, where then there's research, there's an understanding of what an institution of higher learning can do for society. And they'll have an opportunity to engage with society to say, are you sure what you're offering is relevant to what is needed here to change? Or are you going to be giving us skills that are, for the yesteryear? And the university has an opportunity to actually even educate the community around what is emerging and how the community can also own VUT as one of their own and then grow it together. So as I said, let's not state the importance of statements.
Some of those ideas, one of the things that I spend a lot of time talking about is the issue of the content, curricula that you find in institutions of higher learning and its relevance to the need of modern industry. Is part of the work that you guys are doing at Empower Works, and particularly in this campaign, this VAL campaign that you're going to, is there going to be a conversation around that? Because I sometimes get the sense, Raschawa, that we're ticking box. We are involved in a tick box exercise that churns out graduates from different institutions of people that are empowered with skills, as you've said, that are no longer relevant for this moment or the future. And then we have a situation where people are disillusioned because they've made the investment, sometimes at great, great cost to themselves and their families, to get this accolade or this credential, which no longer has any real utilitarian or financial relevance.
Sure.
Is there a conversation in this whole campaign that addresses that issue?
I think we are correct. That's why VUT is on board, to make sure that such a conversation happens. The day before yesterday, we had the chairman of council at VUT addressing community leaders and pastors around the role that they need to play, and also so that there's that particular gap. The other thing that is important there is appreciating that there are certain skills like engineering skills and science skills that are quite specific.
Immutable, that are very specific.
Very specific. If I was to use a personal example, I think I learned two things at institutions of higher learning. One, how to think critically. What that allows one to do then is that when you go out, you can see problems, and then you can begin to ask the right questions, having framed it correctly, then to begin to come to the solution. So if one goes and they come out not as critical thinkers, then they will have failed the whole objective of why they went to university. The second one for me is I learned how to learn at university so that I can now continue to upgrade my software as the environment changes, the challenges change. So having achieved those two, I think then I was able to then come into society and I continue then to be useful. So I guess for me then, other than the ones that I said, is quite simple. It's either you can build a bridge, you can do the following. If you fail to learn how to learn and you come out not as a critical thinker, then of course there will be some challenges around the investment that you've put in terms of time and money in an institution of higher learning.
10,000 young people are going to be coming to the summit in the VAL. Where exactly in the VAL?
It will be in Sebokeng, Zone 14, at Koinonia Bible Church. This is where they will be coming through. It's a beautiful venue that allows for a big auditorium of 2,000 young people. And then we'll be building stretch marquees where we're going to have site conversations that are a little bit deeper than the ones that are that more specific. That will be held in the main auditorium, where then we're going to focus on areas, like I said, you will find, for example, the Competitions Commission, which is one of the partners, being able to then go into quite a lot of details around the work they do and what that actually means. Then we will we'll also, we are encouraging that young people are aware of the different themes that we are following through the 5 days. As I said, when you go to day five, it's going to be about entrepreneurship. Day four, it's about the green economy and climate change. Day three is all about the creative economy. And then you get to day two, where we are talking about day two, where we are talking about AI and deep tech. When you then consider those environments, then young people, when they come, they can now also engage with that content with exhibitors and 40 to 50 exhibitors that are outside that have a very specific deep knowledge on those aspects.
Yeah.
Then it allows them to actually live feeling that at least they've achieved what they needed to do.
This happens over 5 days?
It happens over 5 days. And we are hoping that we'll have 2,000 different young people every day. But of course, as I said, like an example that I gave of the one young lady that came through, that some will be able to come through.
I find that story so fascinating that that she came by herself when there were no crowds. You know, sometimes you get the sense that a lot of people will go because, you know, you know everybody's doing it. I think there's something special about that young lady. She came alone after the fact when everybody else wasn't there. I think you need to follow the little girl up and find out what her interests are. I think there's a gem there.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if there are still many others
that came by themselves
that did not see.
Yeah,
but this is special to me.
Absolutely,
because I
of course you interacted with it. Somebody might say, great initiative, but it sounds like a booster. It sounds like something that's going to be a booster for something that happens less dramatically with less glamour. And I don't know if there's going to be any glamour, but is there a sense that there will be a follow-up to all of this? Because, yes, this is right, but do we have then a situation where there's going to be follow-ups to all of these initiatives?
Here's the good thing. This itself is a follow-up.
Okay.
So we've had Empower Youth for the last 7 years. So we have touched close to 200,000 young people coming to our summits. The one that we had, for example, in 2023 in Orange Farm, it had 20,000 young people coming through. So we've been building this platform over the years. So, and that's why the formula works of bringing partners that have got of opportunities into the space. After the Val, we're going to be going to Westbury on the 1st to the 5th of June. It's a community also that's desperate for this type of initiative to come through. Then move to Tembisa, back to Orange Farm, and then somewhere in Pretoria, and then we go to all the other provinces so that there's a momentum. We are also going to be live streaming it, and for young people that have not registered yet, if they go to www.empoweryouth.co.za, they need to register because of managing the numbers. If you are not registered and you do not have the tech that that young lady was collecting, you will not be able to come through until all those people that have got techs have come through. Of course, if the crowd is manageable, we'll see, because we can only accommodate 2,000 young people. So after that, as I said, when people have got opportunities, these young people, either they're absorbed in the industry or they've got the opportunity to supply or they have an opportunity to get maybe scholarships or bursaries to go to university, that then becomes what comes out of it. And then we have to track what was the impact of the Empower Youth Week in the Val.
Who are the young people? Ages? And then again, give me how they register to be part of this event.
Age is 18 to 35, and sometimes you're asked to say, why 18 to 35 and not beyond? We have to go to the definitions of the youth that then go back to our partners, because when our partners have to do their own reporting to say which youth are you impacting, it has to be within that age group. They should follow Empower Works or Empower Youth on all social media handles. There they will find a link where it will go. It's www.empoweryouth.co.za, and then they'll be able to register their details, including which of the 5 days they are interested in coming to, as well as whether they have their own businesses or not, so that when one groups them, and then they can be able to channel them to the right places.
I think this is an amazing initiative. I think it's something that we will stay close to find out how much impact we've seen. And if there's any way that we can support, Bras Chaba, please, you let us know. We'd love to be part of such a beautiful and noble initiative. Chaba Mutielwa is Managing Executive at Empower Works and Executive Lead at Empower Growth. Thank you so much, my brother, for part two of a great conversation. I'm hoping that as when the vow moment happens, I would love to just get a sense. I mean, 20,000 young people.